I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast, joined by Paddy and Steve. And Pete is yet to turn up, even though you just text saying, yeah, I'm ready to go when you are. Well, we're ready to go, Pete. We're on. We're here. We're doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm live in Tenerife, guys. Tenerife.
Oh, how is it?
Yeah. Well, sorry, but why is Pete texting us stories about WhatsApp and stories about long COVID when he should be on the podcast? stop researching long COVID, Pete. Just come on the podcast, yeah? A lot easier. It's a bit of a nightmare. I've come out here because my father, they come here about four times a year. My mother and father, four times a year, rent the same kind of villa. We're not in a villa at the moment, we're in a hotel. But my mother's got sort of dementia. Last time we came here, she just wandered off. And literally, she does that a lot. She wanders off, thinks she wants to go home, you know? And four or five hours later, she's found by the police. And so I've had to come out here and, you know, look after her a bit, make sure she doesn't wander off a bit. So yesterday is my father's birthday. So I'll give him a treat because she just asks questions non-stop. My mother's a talker. She's always talked non-stop. She'll talk to herself. You know, basically, I've caught her talking to herself in a room while she's ironing years ago. And if there's someone in the room, you know, that's a benefit. She doesn't care. She'll talk anyway. So if you're there, she'll talk at you. But so she talks non-stop and incessant questions. And it's not a part of the dementia. She's always been a talker, you know, so it gets him down a lot because she asks the same questions. All right, I'll take her for a walk. So we went for a walk yesterday, a nice little walk along the beach there. They've got this paved way. It's very nice sort of wooden sort of slats, like almost a patio decking kind of thing, but it goes for miles. And so we walked to about a mile down the sort of coast there, and she's a slow walker. But we sat there. I said, do you fancy a glass of wine? And she looked like, wine. Oh, do you think so? As long as we don't get caught, she said, you know.
Hello.
But what are you doing, Pete? Texting about long COVID when we're on the podcast.
Hello?
Peter?
Hello.
I've just started a little story here, Pete, about my parents, but I'll carry on anyway, all right? So I'm in Tenerife, you know that, don't you? Yeah. I was saying yesterday, my father's birthday, went for a walk, because took stress from my father, because she asked a lot of questions about that. So we went for a walk, but a mile along the sort of promenade, the beach there, it's sort of decking for a mile. And I said, do you fancy a glass of wine, Fange? I call her Fange. And she said, oh, yes, as long as you don't get caught. So we had a small glass, I always got a small glass. And we came back, she was talking nonsense, non-stop, all the way back. And they got to the pool where my father was. And she said, do you want a drink? And he didn't mean alcoholic drink. She said, yes, I'll have a little glass of wine. I said, no, you've had one, Fange. She said, no, I haven't. So, okay, then we're going to have one. So we are sitting inside by the bar, not by the pool because there's glass there. She was sitting there talking away. My father's by the pool. And she went to walk out to see him with the glass. I said, you can't take that out there, Fange. You can't take that near the pool, the glass. You have to get a plastic glass for you. So I said that to her, but I was going to take it back inside and just put it on the side there. And next thing I know, I literally was 10 yards away from her. And she was saying, I walked by. So my father there, lying on the sunbed, I turned around to go back to her and him, and she was nowhere to be seen. So where the heck has she gone? And all I heard was, Justin! What? She was in the pool. She'd fallen in the pool. She was literally floating around in the pool. Luckily, the pool wasn't that deep. The pool wasn't that deep. But she was floating there. The lifeguard came up, pulled her out, and I pulled her out, and I took her back up to the room. And she was literally trying to take clothes off in the lift. And I'm wet. I said, you can't strip off in the lift. You know. Anyway, but she's hurt her knee now. She can't go down to breakfast and all that stuff. So that's the kind of thing. Do you realise... You've got to enjoy life while you have it, you? Because literally being a carer of that is hard work. And it's that was my father's birthday yesterday. We didn't go up for a meal last night afterwards because we had to look after my mother. But it's all fun and games, isn't it? You know, but it's nuts. But it's awful, isn't it? Memory, it's all you have, isn't it? And that's why anything apart from the memory, apart from the mental side of things, I don't mind being, you know, a fat, useless bloke, you know, bedridden, as long as I've got my mind, because I can look at the markets, you know? there's nothing more precious than
he's got the markets, he's fine.
I guess the positive thing is if you've got a bad day in the market, you're going to forget about it. So that's the one good thing about it.
In this market, that's good, actually. Good point, Steve. Yeah. You know, because it's been dreadful, isn't it? I mean, it's still dreadful. Yeah. And it's going on. And do you know why the markets are dreadful?
Many things.
Lots of different reasons, yeah.
Where do we start?
Go on, Brexit. Then. Oh, Paddy's got to bring the political angle into it, isn't he? Why are the American markets selling off? Is it Brexit?
Brexit. That's also down to Brexit.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone on CNBC mention Brexit in regards to the American markets. But, so ignore Brexit. What else then?
In the American markets or generally?
Movement of goods.
What's annoying though is we follow the American markets. They're all saying, you know, America sneezes, we catch a cold. And that's true. Yeah. It's just so annoying because the American markets are so overvalued. If you look at the S&P 500 or any of the markets in America, it's gone on a tear since the Great Financial Crash anyway. The big dip, of course, 2020. But then it's gone up. It's literally ridiculous. It's on steroids. You look at any chart, the S&P 500, and it's gone way up, almost vertical. And you think that's due a crash. But The rest of the markets around the world haven't been like that. But sadly, if the American markets sell off, we suffer as well. So we don't get the upside, but we get the downside, which is nuts. What do you think the issue is with the markets at the moment? Why are they like, what's happening?
Obviously you've got the Russia situation. That's probably sending shockwaves around the world. But the American markets, the Fed's been pumping so much money in, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think about Putin? Why is Putin invading Ukraine or trying to? He's pathetic, isn't he? But it's just a power grab, isn't it? So, it's probably got elections coming up. He said, I'll show my power. I do judo and stuff. You know, get my top off. And he's flexing a bit of muscles on the border.
What's the point in doing elections in Russia? Because he's all rigged anyway over there, isn't it?
Exactly. No, they extended the term before.
Steve will get shot now.
Yeah, but Steve, before, right, you're only allowed to be in term for two terms, right? So he got some other guy standing in. I don't know if he's noticed that guy, a puppet of his to stand in for a term. And they changed the rules then. So the thing I can't understand is why do they go through the whole rigmarole, the act of actually having elections? Why do they even do that? It's why do they pretend they're a democracy? That's ridiculous, isn't it? You're not fooling anyone, Vladimir Putin.
Well, and then the news today that good old Boris is going to head out there and see Putin. I thought, blimey, that's the worst possible diplomat to be sending.
No, but you know what they say?
World War III's going
to start. Yeah, but you know what they say, don't you? When you got a terrible domestic policy, or it's in tatters, you create a good foreign policy. And if you're a statesman abroad, you tend to distract people. And this is like his ultimate distraction. He's trying to distract again, isn't he, by all this stuff. But I can't. Do you know what? It's unbelievable. He is unbelievable, Boris, because what people want him to do is to say he was telling lies. But he's not going to do that because he's a liar, is he? You know, he's not going to say, I lied. Don't people understand this?
That's the truth.
Yeah, it's a basic flaw in everyone's premise here. He's a liar. You don't understand that. He's not going to tell you he was having a party. I didn't know it was a party. Yeah, they came in with a birthday cake and we had a few drinks and stuff, but I didn't know it was a party. No one told me that, you know. I said, Boris, It's almost like it's realized. People are deluded at every level of life. There is, you know, delusion. You know, there's delusion in the stock market. People hold stocks for as long as they can. They just fall in love with the company. They, well, at every metric you look at that company, it's not doing well. It's getting worse. But they also always have some kind of excuse. Yes, no, but this is happening for now, but it'll get better later on. So it's, every level is delusion. You know, but yeah, I don't know what's happening. But hasn't Putin just done that before, though? Isn't it funny how the worries, always worry there, isn't it? It's gone from Omicron, that's disappeared now, and now we've got inflation and Ukraine. It's almost, we need something to replace the worry here to fill the void. Yeah. There's a vacuum, a worry vacuum we need to fill. But, you know, the biggest problem is inflation, isn't it?
Yep.
Do you understand why? I don't understand what the worry is, though. Yeah, but it's not Brexit, is it?
They've already said that's going to get worse. It's going to go higher and higher. So how is that going to help? And if it's just the markets aren't going to recover then, are they? If it's just going to keep going up? Or
well,
it?
Yeah, but listen, isn't it? Interest rates will go up. Yeah, it's inflation, right? Or the inflation. So with low interest rates, okay, inflation goes up. Now, people say, oh, there's a problem with inflation. I can't see the problem with inflation. I mean, in fact, I'll give you a real-world example, right? We came off electric tariff. We don't have gas, we've electric, but it's a gas boiler, but it's electric, you know, electric. But we had a renew this week, renew our electricity. You know, we're on a standard tariff. You know, the boiler has got a pilot light, it's gas, but we don't have gas cookers and stuff like that. Everything else is, I don't know.
No,
yeah.
No, your heating's gas.
So you do have gas.
Yeah, heat is gas. Yeah, it's gas. Yeah, gas and electric. Gas. Anyway, it's
dual fuel. It's okay.
Gas. Yeah, it's dual
it's
fuel.
Gas.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
electric,
sorry.
But we have gas.
I have electric gas.
Yeah, maybe we should call them up and say, no, we don't have gas, actually. We have electric. No.
Apart from the gas in the boiler, there's no gas.
There's that blue flame. I'll say it's a tiny bit of gas. We don't use that. It's in the flame. It doesn't come out of the boiler. That stays in there. It's small, tiny. We don't. Yeah. Don't need, how can we pay £300 a month for that? No, but what happens is,
I won't turn that off.
Yeah. That's burning gas in there.
Our water's electric.
Exactly. It's quite dangerous, but it is electric. So anyway, so we came off a standard tariff, whatever it is, you know, last week. We did, you know, price comparison. This is real world inflation now, isn't it? Because and our bill is about £150 a month, right? The cheapest we can get is £300 a month. That's double
that's inflation.
Exactly. Yeah, that's massive, doubling. That's
no,
nuts.
No, but that's the energy crisis, isn't it? So
that's inflation, though. But the biggest
well, energy counts towards the inflation.
It does. I can't not pay it, Pete.
That's an extreme example. You know, the cost of living is taken across lots of different things, isn't it? From clothing.
The biggest contributor to inflation in the last few, you know, prints has been energy. So unless that comes down, we're at.
But also, all the things on that list require energy. So your base is energy. So the cost of your food getting to a supermarket is also going up because of the cost of energy, and the cost of producing your clothes goes up because of the cost of energy. Like it's all.
And that's, I want to get to the point. Justin thinks that inflation doesn't matter.
Well, no, I'll get that. But this comes back to Putin, didn't it? Because the Europeans don't want to, you know, show a strong hand with him because he said, hey, I'll turn your gas off, yeah? That little blue light in your boiler will go off, yeah? He'll do that. He can do that for you. Just call him up. Hey, Putin, just switch off Europe. Okay, no problem. You got a big, you know, one of those big red handles. Just switch that down. Mm. Off. This is how it works, right? So that's real world inflation just there. But the world and central banks have a debt problem, right? Now, what's bad for debt is raising interest rates because it also costs a lot more. You know, and your asset prices come down. The growth, the only way to bring down inflation really quickly is by stifling growth. And so, you know, companies with debt will take on less people. They won't give any more sort of wage increases because, of course, that's costing a lot of money. People won't borrow any money. People will tend to save if interest rates go up. They won't invest any money. So it really slows down growth. So, but that's a problem then, because I'll give you a world example here. Steve, I think you're like this, right? So let's say you bought a house in the year 2000, right? It cost £200,000 and you went for those, you know, 100% mortgages. You know, in fact, they were doing 110% at one time, weren't they? But you went for 100% mortgage, so you borrow $200,000 for your house, right? Now, if, you know... That's 100% mortgage, that's it. No deposit. All the deposit you need, Steve, is your signature on a piece of paper. So you get $200,000 borrowed, right? Now, say abnormal kind of inflation and say house prices go by 5% a year, right? By 2020, how much will your house be worth? Any ideas? It's compounded 5% each year.
No. 200 grand. By 2020, do you say 2020?
Yeah, 2020, from 2000 to 2020, 2000. Yeah. Mm. How much do you think your house has gone up by?
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, well, Steve's stuck with the question. So you buy a house, Steve, in 2000, year 2000, for 200 grand, right?
Oh, year 2000, sorry, I missed that bit.
So 200,000, yeah, so right. 200,000 is quite round figures. 200,000, year 2000, okay? Yeah. You borrow nothing, and you got 5%, which is roughly right, 5% increase in house prices over the next 20 years. Your house will be worth?
300,000?
Well, do you know what? You'd have made 330 grand on it. It'd be worth £530,000. So you've got 330 grand of equity in that. So people think they're rich, you know? That's good. Now, if house prices went down, let's say they put interest rates up like crazy over that period of time, and house prices went down by 10%, you're in a problem there because you borrowed 200 grand. Even if you sell your house, you're still 20 grand in debt. It's only worth 180 grand, you know? So central banks inflate their way out of debt. Like, say, the central bank in America now goes $9 trillion in debt. $9 trillion. And that's nuts, isn't it? To an example, yeah. $1 trillion, if you counted it seconds-wise, every second, to get to $1 trillion, it takes you 31,000 years to count that. So they're $9 trillion in debt. But if you inflate prices, for example, prices go up, so you give people, staff, wage increases, everything goes up, then the pricing power goes down. So that $9 trillion is worth nothing in a couple of years' time. In fact, that would be quite worth quite a bit. But the problem is, if you put interest rates up, they're going to have to pay interest on that, and the asset prices go down, so there's a bigger problem. So I'm thinking, they don't want to go nuts on interest rates, because they can't, because it'll kill everything. It'll kill businesses, it'll kill central banks. They can't do it. So that's why the Fed is messing around. They should have put interest rates up last time. But, I mean, you know, they're between a rock and a hard place. And the best way to get out of debt is to inflate the way out of debt. For example, if you need to pay that mortgage off on your house, you could do it easy. Just sell your house, 530 grand. You've made 330 grand profit, and you pay off the debt. Easy, isn't it? But if it goes the other way, you're knackered. You know what I'm saying?
What percentage were you saying the house is rising at?
5%, yeah. 5% a year.
Yeah. Oh, right.
No, it wouldn't be that much.
Yes.
I know compound is impressive, but it wouldn't be that much.
I just done it on a calculator.
20 years at 5% compounded?
Yeah. 1.25. Sorry. You're all right. I got it wrong. I said 50%.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, compounding is amazing, but it would be more like 300 or something. Yeah, Steve was actually close, probably.
By the way, I found a cracking little compound calculator online, actually.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20. No, it says 480. 481. It is from that. 1.05. Turns out, well, yeah, it is. So it's close to 500,000. Yeah. So it's,
you found it. You're doing 1.05 to the power 20.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that it would have gone up 5% a year over 20 years.
Yeah. Well, last year, it was close to like 10, 13%. When they run up 10% last year.
But not. But the 5 years before that, it wouldn't have gone up at all.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, inflation, of the two evils, inflation is probably lesser an evil than interest rates, isn't it?
No, fine, but you're thinking about it from a very economic point of view, from a real human's point of view. Unless their wages are going up by the same number, then they're getting a pay cut every year, which is what has happened over the last sort of 10 years or so. So every single year that the prices go up, if your wages stay the same, which is unfortunately where we are, then you're getting poorer and poorer. And those things tend to affect people on lower wages more than people on higher wages, because best will in the world, if you get a pay rise when you're working in Tesco, it's not going to be a huge pay rise. Whereas if you're in the sort of middle tier of earnings, you can take bigger jumps when you change jobs or when you get bonuses or whatever. So over the last 10 years, we've had a real issue with this. And over the last year, with inflation doing what it's doing, I don't know if you saw that thread that Jack Monroe put on Twitter last week about the real effects of price changes on really simple pieces of food in your shopping basket. You know, pasta has gone up by 50% in the last year. Yeah. That makes a huge difference to millions of people.
There's two issues here. One is that there's always a lag. You know, generally wages do come after price rises. There's always a lag. So you can have people, and there's some, and obviously, and if you own assets, it's fine. Assets rise. If you don't, if you're renting and all that stuff, then it really costs you, doesn't it? You know, so of course there's an issue. What I'm saying,
but surely mortgages, you know, cost, don't they? So that's
but the low interest rates. I mean, you are still earning. So, no, that is right. That's £530,000 you'd be worth off 5% of 20 years. So
I disagree.
Well, do it. Do a calculator. Just times 1.05 times 20,000, 20 times. No, but. But what I'm saying is people without assets, you know, people with assets get a lot more wealthy. Worth watching. I watched last night, Jeremy Grantham. He's from UK, but he's a fund manager, and he's been causing, he says we're in America now is in a super bubble. Not just a bubble. 2 years ago, when he called it a bubble, he said it's going to pop. It didn't happen. He's now saying it's a super bubble. So his timing's out, but he's very good. He said, if you look at it, he said something like the top 1% own 35% of the assets in the world. And he said the top 10% own like sort of 80% of the assets. So there are the people on lower incomes and lower wages will suffer, of course, with inflation. But likewise,
they're completely locked out as well. There's no way that they can break into that at any point. If you're on benefits, if you're in a low wage job at the moment, there is no way that you're going to ever be, the way the house prices are going, there's no way you're ever going to be able to get onto the ladder. Yeah. So we've almost over the last 10 years created a society where there are two halves and there's literally no way to jump from one to the other unless you educate yourself out of it, which is, you know, going to be tough for someone who's sort of middle-aged, win the lottery.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, there's literally no way of jumping that, making that huge leap into ownership.
And US labor market, he's talking mainly about America. He said the UK is no overpriced. Lots of places, Japan is no overpriced, UK wise, equity wise, by the way. But he said America is. And he said there's less mobility now of labor there than there ever was. Before, the American dream was you can come from nowhere to be somewhere. He says there's less people going from the lower quarter to the upper quarter now than ever was. He said UK is more mobile, actually. And he was looking around the world. He said America's in a big problem. But and of course, the trouble is, you never just see a rotation out of America into the UK, you know, in as far as equity is concerned. We will suffer as a result of America selling off, you know. So,
My point on just having a mortgage or whatever is another cost. And if somebody is living close to their means, you know, covering their mortgage, and then the cost of living goes up elsewhere, you know, they're still... It could be in a problem in a financial.
Exactly. If you go backwards,
it's not good for anyone. I want to get to the point. So why is inflation good? And I think you're seeing it from a fairly privileged point of view, whereas inflation is pretty disastrous.
No, I'm saying this. Both extremes are bad. Of course they are. Now the target is, of course, is 2% inflation. Most central banks have that, which is good because your assets rise. But at the moment we are an extreme. We are over 5% inflation, pretty much. I'm saying a lot higher, closer to 10%. Is it temporary? I don't know. I mean, you know, if oil prices come down, yeah, probably it is. And supply chains ease, probably is. But that's the whole worry, you see, about the markets now. They're selling off because they're realising the Fed have talked about rising interest rates, and not only that, pulling money from the markets. Of course, they were investing in the market pretty much by buying bonds, which gives a lot of liquidity to the market. That's why the American indices have gone nuts. They've been on steroids. That's what it's been like. But good news for us boys is the microcap sector tend to fall first and fastest and recover first as well and quickly because it's all about liquidity. They're very sensitive to liquidity, microcaps, you know, because that's where people pull money from first. And so we've been in a bad downtrend pretty much, or going sideways and downtrend, for 8 months now. You know, if you look at the Russell 2000, which is the American small cap index, it generally, from peak to trough, normally 6 to 8 months, and the Russell has been there now. It's been there since November-ish, so we go along a bit now. I think the worst of the sell-off has happened. It'll calm down. We are at the height of fear here in the markets, talking about interest rates and things. Once we know the pathway, you know, the Fed, for example, the Bank of England, so much, it gets a lot worse. And we've seen before that that's what I'm saying. The Fed has to tread very carefully because it's a lag factor. When the interest rates, you know, kicks in about sort of 12 months later, they can't just keep piling on loads of interest rates because they have to work out, okay, how's this affecting the economy? Because they're scared. They're already scared the markets are selling off. So that's that. But they have to do that. It's a good thing. It's working without them doing anything, you know. So I'm quite bullish on microcaps because everyone's bearish on them. That's it. I mean, because that's the best. When's the best time to buy? The best time is not to buy when everyone's saying, oh, the market's running like crazy. That's not the best time to buy. The best time to buy is, you know, when it's Well, it's bearish, isn't it? You know, and of course, not, have you seen? Yeah. Have you looked up? You're familiar with Cathy Wood, but look her up because she's become quite famous of late because she's really
fund manager.
Yeah, it's Innovation Fund at the Ark Innovation Fund. She's invested in all these massively high growth stocks. Now the high growth, but they got no value. Their valuations are crazy. So these are companies that turn, you know, are valued on 100 times sales, you know, all that kind of stuff. But she thinks they're so innovative, they're worth it. But they're already valued at billions. But her fund has had a massive sell-off, and it's dropped like 50% this year. And the outflows are scary. But she's there doing a monthly sort of YouTube videos to explaining why she thinks the company she's investing in is deflationary for the economy. So it's good. But yeah, that's scary because there's no. She's basically all about growth. Nothing about valuation. Yeah. And I think, as always, why go extreme or anything? If you go for growth and valuation, surely covering both bases. Valuation, you know, predicts the downside. There's growth for the upside, isn't there? You know.
Yeah.
By the way,
to be fair, I've chucked a load of money in. I've done my yearly kind of input into my Vanguard funds because I thought I might as well put it in now because this is probably the lowest it's going to be.
Famous last words.
Well, I know, but
yeah. But did you watch Steve? Yeah, it's all the time frames, isn't it? You may dip down further next six months as well.
But even
bear markets don't. Even bear markets last 18 months. You know,
you can stick your money in the account, but you don't have to put it all in, so you could hold it in there and then just drip it into the actual fund that you're investing in.
That's like your retirement fund, really, Steve, isn't it? So
I've been touched for a long time, so I don't really mind if it goes down a little bit more, but let's be honest, it's down 7% or 6 or 7%. So I'm like, yeah, that's not a bad time to chuck a bit of money in.
Yeah, but come on. How many times have you said that before? Oh, it's not going any further. Oh, it's gone down another 10%.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to guess.
The funds hasn't. The funds don't tend to drop unless there's another pandemic on the way or a recession. But, you know.
No, I said to Megan that. I said, listen, if you've got any spare, unless you have to save some money for the kids, I said, any spare money, start dripping into the Vanguard fund. In over 20 years, I'll do what. And you see, it was a good stat, actually. A guy said, your success in the stock market. Basically, over a month, the chance of you earning money over a month is like 50-50. Over 10 years, it goes up to like 70-30. Over above 20 years, it's almost a 100% return if you're in a decent, balanced fund. So it's all about time frames. You know, that's why trading is very hard. You can't predict where the stock price is going in this week, next week. But you're guaranteed if a business is improving over time, it'll do well. The share price will reflect the business. In fact, talking about that, let's get on to before Steve leaves for his park run. Did you see the results from XP Factory? Very good, improving, growing, exceeding expectations. And I think now, and that's, you know, that was only, they did 5.1 million revenue. That was only owner-operated escape rooms. That's all. And so that was 133% up on 2019 when the economy was up. EBITDA level up 2 million. Positive group EBITDA.
Are we allowed to be like releasing an RNS with a huge typo in the first line? I mean, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
I know, but I didn't worry about that too much, do you? I mean, a little bit, but what was the typo? Someone said that. Said,
well, 13%.
It's actually up 133. Like, if the next one is another equally huge leap, like we hope it is, I would be hopeful that they get it right the first time, so that people don't continue to misunderstand the company.
No, I understand that. But there's been sometimes. But if you look at it, right? I mean, if you look at the underlying business, that's the most important thing. I mean, it's one type.
No, sure, but imagine like if there was one key fund manager who was considering it, looked at it briefly over his coffee in the morning, and then or her coffee in the morning. It's up a bit, but it's like, yes, that's not what I was expecting. Moved on to the next one. Didn't see the correction.
Well, I hope a fund manager would do a bit more due diligence than just over his coffee. Thinking, I'm not gonna bother that.
Completely set up for trading in this market, and it's not doing what, you know, it's doing well. The numbers are great. But the price is annoying.
On their next RNS, they just need to have the headline, "We've proofread this one, it's absolutely right."
Yeah. The thing is, like you just proved now, it's a distraction, you know, which is not good. So I know, and in fact, I did said good results, Richard, and he said, "I've just noticed something, a typo there." And so he put it back out to release another one. So
maybe you suggest they do the typos when they're bad RNSs.
Yeah, exactly.
To the upside, yes. 2,000% gain. Oh, sorry, that's 2%.
Take a leaf from Boris's book.
Yeah, if you get mentioned that, 2,000% gain. And they said, what? No, sorry. And later in the day, correction. No one reads the corrections. It's meant to be 2%. So yeah, but I know, but no, but do you know what? It's all going well there. I mean, and like I said, what I like about XP Factory is that they've got a roadmap. You know, I can't think of the name now. Escape, and they've got a roadmap. It's a roadmap there to go from micro to macro, and that's it. It's all there. They've got the sites, and they can do it on the sites now. And even though people still look, the reason why it's a bit frustrating the share price is because people are looking at that 5 million, saying, "Well, hang on a sec." That's like a £40 million company. Why is that any good? For first of all, that was off. That was the second half. Second of all, it was only on owner-operated escape rooms. So that means not franchisees, not remote and all that stuff, not digital. It wasn't on Boom Battle Bars, which just took over in late November 23rd. So going forward this year, they're going to do £25 million. Of revenue this year, you know.
I think we should write the RNSs like that. What you've just said there, it sounds a lot more exciting. But that's like, yeah, go on. Yeah,
well, exactly. But this does not include. If you look at that and look at now how many, and already they've got 8 in build. They've got about 6 or 7 Boom Battle Bars up and running. But of course, there's no point just showing a month's worth of figures when, in fact, Omicron. There's a lot of negative press about Omicron, so it may have dampened down figures. But this year now, with the economy open. And they've got, 8 sites in build. The biggest one is yet to come, owner-operated, is Oxford Street. They've got O2 open. But I think it'll be a cracking year. So they're going to, again, more than triple that. So 7 million, they're going to be 7 million in revenue this year, for 2021, I mean. In 2022, this year now, they're going to more than triple that and be profitable. So I think once people realise that, they'll come to half-year results, I think. They'll understand, yeah. I think the share price will re-rate a little bit, you know.
When is that?
Patience.
Well, I mean, the end of H1 is, of course, June, isn't it? June 30th. But they release their results for the full year. This is a trading update on the full year results. And they release the full year results for 2021 in about March, I think February, March. Or March, maybe they've got six months to release them, but they'll be about March time. And then, of course, they do a trading update then for the H1. But H1 should be good news, I think, as long as you don't get some stupid variant on the variant. I think that's it now with Omicron, isn't it? I think that's it with Corona. Is it? It's done, isn't it? Coronavirus, we've got that. Done.
I don't think we can make that call on this podcast. Sadly.
I'd like to, but...
I think people are obviously very keen for it to end, but, I'm not sure that's how it works.
Yeah. And, do you know what? I don't understand. People don't understand. Again, if you know the story about a company, people don't obviously research as much as others, but I mean, Biome as well came up with a cracking trading update.
Yeah.
Considering they've got supply chain issues there, and the valuation there is nuts. I mean, they're going to do 5.6 million of revenue. That should have been a lot higher than that, but they said, do two trading updates saying, we've got supply chain issues here. It will get better as time goes on. And they say now, they got a million of cash, more than expected. People thought about £500,000. So they got a million of cash. They're now 9.5 million market cap, so that's an enterprise value of 8 million. That's like 1.3 times this year's earnings. Next year, they're going to be 40% growth, and so it'll be one times sales. I mean, that's nothing. That's a good valuation, and they're growing at 47% forecast next year. So I think people are not catching on to this, Biome. It's a cracking
growth
theory.
But I think the RNS...
Steve's running.
Steve's off. The RNS... was I wouldn't say negative, but it probably made people think, no, I could
it wasn't rumpy.
I could have my money working harder for me elsewhere. I don't think that, and I just think it's patience required. But and like you say, the valuation is really
Steve,
go on mute.
Yeah,
go on mute because you're rubbing your thighs. Why don't you doing, Steve? What are you doing with your thighs? It seems like you're rubbing something,
putting Vaseline on, getting ready for his run. I don't know. I just the RNS. It was realistic, but it's just. It feels like it's going to be another. You know, you got another 6, 12 months, 18 months. Who knows? Until you're kind of going to really see some positive.
It's very illiquid though, and the market goes ahead of time. Yeah. And I just think if they do a decent trading update, and even the business world, I don't really look at the Stanelco RF Technologies, which is hard to understand, it's fiber optic stuff and all that stuff. But that's picking up as well. So they won a couple more contracts there. They won 3 contracts already, and unexpectedly in the last 6 months. So a couple more of that, and the Biome, two of those divisions fire at the same time. It's going to do very well. So
Oh no, I mean,
sit tight, Pete. Go on.
I was just saying, I read it and thought, it will probably take a knock on that, but just sit tight and hold, and it's patience. It's my worst performing stock in my portfolio, but I believe in it, and I think the valuation is very attractive. So
yeah, well, the thing is, right? It's not rampy. It's very honest. I thought the thing is, people don't, you know, a lot of Twitter aim investors just want some CEO ramping their stock. You know, talking about this is a chance of 50 billion coming from this. I've seen RSS from lots of companies of late talking about the potential massive upside of a contract if it lands, and it's not even revenue generating, and the stock has gone up by 20%. Yeah, I know. The stock goes up by 20%.
What are these stocks?
Well, no, that stock, but that RNS, you know, it's worth pointing out to people, the RNS that company just released, in fact, I know a company's released two RNSs talking about massive figures, and I thought, the share price really moved. I thought, neither of those RNSs are revenue generating at all. It's just all ramp.
Perfect.
I know.
Absolutely perfect. Playing the game.
They should say in the background, if Biome put at the bottom there, we got a contract and, you know, it was bubbling away in the background worth, 150 million. Is it bubbling away in the background? It maybe is, maybe isn't. But anyone can say that. But it doesn't mean it's going to land, you know?
What are the rules on, this is what I was going to ask, what are the rules on RNSs in terms of when they can release one and what they can say? Because some companies seem willing to be a little bit more regular with their updates and a little bit more willing to fill them with a load of rubbish, to be fair.
Yeah, I can frame that. I can frame that and reflect it on society. There are some people who will drive within the speed limit, won't they? There are some people who won't. It's the same as any CEOs. There are some people saying, no, we have to do this, again, with their nomads. There are some people, as long as you're in talks with the company where the maximum potential is like 40 million, then you can write that in there. Some nomads would say, nominated advisor, no, you can't say that because that's the maximum you earn from that and it's not likely to do that. But it's odd. It's not standard in any way. So, and it's just personal governance most of the time. And I quite like the fact that Biome's quite honest about, they're not ramping anything. Didn't even talk. I know what the broker forecasts are. They didn't mention that. They just say we're very. In fact, what they said at the end, they said the scale of opportunities available to Biome is now greater than it was this time last year, and the board remains confident of being able to build on the group's prospects during 2022 and thereafter. So I think that's, doesn't say, oh, you better get in before the weekend. Yeah, I wouldn't like to be out of this. It's none of that nonsense. It's just honest, you know. Right. So
On the old Twitter ramping thing, I don't know. Maybe it's just the companies that I follow now, or not follow, but that I'm interested in, so I look at the hashtags. I think there's a lot less ramping now than there used to be. Or maybe it's just the types of industries we're in now. But
they've all moved to crypto.
Probably actually. Yeah, you're right. But go back 2-3 years ago, an RNS would come out on any of the companies we follow that I'm invested in. I would look at the hashtag on Twitter and see, and even loads of people ramping in the rockets and all the rest going off. But I don't see as much of that these days, which is good. And perhaps maybe the investor community is maturing a bit in terms of how we use Twitter and things. I don't know. But it's good because the ramping, it was funny, but it was sort of like ridiculous.
There's still a lot of ramping out there, a lot of hope, hype, potential dreams and blue sky. But it doesn't happen.
I don't look at them.
A lot of that's moved to crypto. And people defend it. You almost, if you get a certain stage where you're ramping something so hard and so often, they stand behind it, don't they? They won't back down. And you realize, I talked to Glenn Goodman, who's a trader, and he's written a book on crypto. And I said,
"Oh, Glenn."
Yeah, and I said to Glenn, every week of an argument, we have an argument every week, pretty much, right? In a friendly way. But I said to him, there's no way you can value any cryptocurrency, and yet they're valued at billions. And now,
do you need to value a currency?
It's not a currency, is it? It's not a currency.
I know, but you always say this, and you're always very keen to value these currencies or value these.
They're not currencies. They're basically tokens.
But it's tokens. Not the whole point.
I go to the fun fair to get tokens. Tokens. They mean no sense.
But this is all. This is taken as red, though, right? It's not a valuation. You are clearly throwing your money on a gamble.
But it's a gamble. Yeah, but if you're talking about if they have any pretense of being a business in any way, like I said, back when the .com,
they don't.
Look how they do. Most of them do. Think they have good projects and all this. They do. They're going to be influential in the future. Now, there's nothing more influential than the internet. And the companies nowhere near valued some of these tokens. They're just tokens. But the thing is, you've got to value things, because how do you know where it's going to go? If you don't know what the value is now, how do you know what value it can generate and how much money you can make from it? You've got to have some kind of, forever man has valued things, even when you're swapping a pebble for a shell. You think, oh, that pebble's worth two shells. You know, why? Because people, you've got to have, you know, some kind of guide to evaluation.
A token with a dog's face on it. It's like a co-op stamp. It's like, you know, these are like, doesn't matter.
But they're capitalising billions. I don't understand why. Well, because essentially, they're worthless. They're absolutely worthless. They're worth nothing. You can't do anything. Bitcoin, first of all, was a currency. No, you can't currency because you pay some of the Bitcoin this week and then all of a sudden you realise you've paid $4,000 more than you should have paid for it next week. So you can't, it's a store of value. It's a store of value when it's going up, but when it's going down, it's like, is it a store of value? No, I've lost like 50% in the last 4 months. How's that a store of value? That value's gone southward. But so I would say, at least with businesses, like I say, you can look at what they're generating. You can put that on a multiple that's trusted, you know, over time, 5-10 times, you know, PE or EBITDA or sales, sensible metrics, you know, that are stood by. But with crypto, you can't at all. And I understand, and I'm not saying you shouldn't trade it to make money. Fine, the liquidity is there, do it. But don't be surprised if you wake up one day and it's gone down by 60% and it's going through the floor. So, because there's no reason why I can't do that, and there's a lot of fraud in the system. It's funny, isn't it? Bitcoin was built on what's called a trustless system. You know, no need for a central bank trust and all that and stand behind it.
Yeah.
But yet there's less trust in the crypto community than anywhere, and there's more scams going on than anywhere. So it's just a bit worrying, isn't it? You can't trust anything in the crypto space, can you? It's dodgy.
I wouldn't even think to trust anything.
No. That's why it is.
So maybe that's why I'm not in it.
Well, exactly.
Right, yeah. I tell you what, I quite like boys. I mean, I better move on. I'm going for breakfast now. But I tell you what I quite like is TV-wise, and I don't know why I've not watched it. Have you watched Afterlife?
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched Afterlife?
Yes.
I like
Afterlife?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
But Paddy, I think you'd like it. Honestly, I think it's your kind of humour. Ricky Gervais, you know, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, right, yeah. And I've seen the first two series. They're excellent, yeah.
Yeah. No. And for some reason, we tried to watch it twice. Me and Mrs. have been distracted. We've started watching now. And it's good, isn't it? It's very good.
It's very good. Yeah.
When he is talented. When you write two hits like that, you realise his stand-up is not very good, though, is it? I've watched his stand-up, and he's very good.
I like his stand-up.
I think it's a bit lame, really.
Derek was quite funny as well.
Oh, I don't know if Derek was. It's a bit
goofy. No, I didn't like Derek. That's the funny thing with him. I think some of his humour, it's very niche. And like, I don't know if everybody likes all of the stuff, but perhaps that's part of his talent. But I think his stand-up's excellent. Some of his, like, humanity and stuff, it's very good, some of it. And then, Afterlife is very clever, isn't it?
It's very good.
I think it's helped a lot of people as well.
Yeah.
Because
that's just something that we all go through. And sometimes it's not that great to be in the middle of it, but to see someone going through the same sort of issues and doing it in a humorous way is, it's a nice way of taking it on.
And also...
Go on. No, you carry on.
Also, it's realised... thing that sticks with me, Ricky Gervais said a while back, he said... Dogs are too good for us, for humans. And they are. Mm. You know what? Every day, dogs are in the same routine, happy. They get up. They give you a reason to get up and do something, take them for a walk. The same. We are too complex as humans, you know? That's the problem with our brains. We have to do too much. We can get depressed. Well, dogs may do, but they just, you know, as long as they go for a walk. But they're like food, a bit of fuss, a bit of fun, and that's it. That's all. That's as simple as that. Chase a ball.
Just like me.
Steve's a bit like that.
So he's gone for a run. He's had his food, he's gone for a run.
Exactly. Bit of us.
Life from the run.
Life from the run, it's Steve.
He's still running. Do you watch Afterlife, Steve?
Out today.
He's running on the moon.
Yeah, no, I felt really good. I just actually finished season 3.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I did like the outtakes in the pub, was quite good.
That is good.
Anything else, boys, on investing?
I wanted to say I don't know if you saw the news today about the long COVID, hidden lung damage spotted in...
I saw that on the BBC News website.
Which is obviously using xenon gas from our friends Polarian.
You WhatsApped that, didn't you?
I have WhatsApped it.
Yeah, just click the link.
The Oxford University study.
Oh, that's Polarian,
That's Polarian. So I'd like to hope to see a RNS from Polarian shouting about that. That's their technology. We've got the whole FDA thing, but you know, it's this sort of stuff. This is what it's designed to do, and it's showing abnormalities in lungs caused by long COVID, and that's what we need to be really championing, because that's going to be potentially a really long-term health issue. So
I have since I had COVID, I've definitely had long term. Like my lung capacity is definitely less than it was before COVID, and not in a really? Disastrous way. Yeah, not in like a way that's affected my day to day life. But if I try and train, like I'd say I'm sort of like 5-10% off where I was, and it's not just an age thing. It's definitely a noticeable change. So if
have you done a peak flow? Is it peak flow test or whatever with the lung capacity? Because that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? If you had one previously, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I had one previously. So, I could just feel it. Like I hit a point now where I just can't get the oxygen in. Whereas before, it wouldn't have been an issue. It's definitely I've been affected long term by it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm going to tweet that because that's good. I mean, I've reduced my holding in Plarium, but. Just shows, you know, how amazing that tech is, and hopefully they get some news out. So it's been quiet, but I'm hoping, you know, Richard is making due diligence there, and you know, and just make sure that if the Fed, you know, you get all the boxes ticked.
Just pay them off. Just give them a bung. Just get it done.
Yeah. It does make you think, doesn't it? With you know, what's going on there with the Fed? I mean, I'm not that.
The Fed or FDA?
They're probably on some way.
But they probably are.
Yeah, you realise, and you realise how many people are literally, implicit, you know, or involved. I didn't realise that the FDA, for example, there's so many people involved in that on the boards of big pharma companies. Yeah. You know. That in itself.
Oh, it's a racket, of course. But
in itself shouldn't be allowed, should it?
No. And also, I think I don't know if that's if this is probably conspiracy, but if they only selectively, you know, approve, which is that would be bad. Like, there's room for more than one player in the market, and they should. This technology, if it is being proven, and Oxford University seem to be using it, so you know, it should be approved. If there's no reason not to prove it.
Do you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I just thought then when you said that is this delay occurring to let others catch up? Others catch up and were connected to the Fed, you know? So, because Plarium said...
The
FDA, sorry. It begins with the F word. I'm just thinking, a very bearish thing, but Richard always said we're years in advance of anyone else. We have more research papers than anyone else. We have 100 research papers, peer-reviewed papers published. I hope not. That's just a silly side of me saying that. But hopefully it's just, you know, some kind of admin issue that they need to address in some way. But,
But I'd like to see them... Even with this in the background, the FDA thing, they should still be. They're not doing any other promotional that I'm seeing, any other promotional kind of material or activity. And like I know that's not their style, but they kind
of. I forgot the guy from the FDA now. What you said,
Jeff.
Jeff and Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah, I said Jeff called up Richard and said, this is complete speculation, of course, bad news, Richie boy, Diggy boy. I said, what's that? Well, we haven't approved it. No, we haven't approved it. No, no, a couple of things wrong. But I tell you, on a good news and bad news thing, I got some good news for you. There's a big pharma company who wants to buy your company, and we can give them FDA approval tomorrow. It's like, really? Yes, they'll buy you, and we can give them FDA approval, because, you know, the brother on the board of the FDA, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll send you his details.
Yeah, I know there are some people who think it's hugely, you know, sort of rigged in some way. I try not to believe that, you know? I try to believe it's fair in some way.
No, exactly.
But life isn't fair, is it?
No, I try and believe that it's real thorough due diligence, and they're going to just get through that process, and it's all going to be okay. Yeah. There you go.
Fingers crossed. Hey, who knows? I've reduced my holding now. Who knows now? They probably get a positive RNS on Monday, and it goes through the roof, and I'm underexposed in it. I'm underweight. That'd be annoying. Mm. Never mind. I'll jump back in on a dip somewhere. There's always dip. There's always opportunity in the market. Always opportunity.
Yeah.
In fact, on my webinar now, weekly webinar, I'll be pitching a stock idea at least once a week. At least.
Right.
Every week. So I mean, may not be perfect, but I mean, the idea is going through ideas on a daily basis. On a weekly basis, I mean. It means you start to know the microcap space very well. You know, these companies. And when some of them are turning around or starting to improve, you're on it, you know, you're ahead of the news. So that's all it's about. The harder you work, the luckier you get, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, hang on. On your calculator, Peter, don't do that, right? Just do, well, you did 200, 100 times, 200 grand, I was saying, on your calculator. 200 grand times that, what does that work
out? I think it's at 100 grand.
Yeah, no, see, I was spot on, wasn't I? Yes. Thank you very much. Paddy there as well. Thank you very much. Thank you. So you would be, your house would be worth...
Calculator, use that.
I don't need to. I can just do it. Well, I can do that. But basically, I did 200,000 times 1.05. Hit the equals button 20 times. You got it. So you'd be, your house would be worth 530 grand pretty much, you know, in 20 years on 5% interest a year.
Okay, sorry. I thought you said 100 grand.
Yeah. That's what my kids do when I have to give them the wrong answer. Oh, I thought you said that. I thought you said, you know, it was an elephant, not a giraffe. That's why I said trunk, not long neck. Yeah. All right, Mont, I believe you. Okay, boys. I better go and see the parents. Make sure my mother hasn't fallen in the pool again.
Yeah.
Literally, she could stand up. Literally, the pool was about, you know, above her waist, but she was just in. Justin!
Right.
I think, Mum, stand up.
She should laugh.
No, you shouldn't, but you've got to. It's like, Felix, he's just drowning. So, Mum, just stand up, please. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm cool. I'm okay. I didn't realise it was the baby pool. Sorry. I'm drowning! I just do that. Yeah, I just go in there and fall in the baby pool. I'm drowning! Stand up. Oh, yeah, fine. Thanks a lot. Got it. All good.
Nice. Cheers, boys. Good work.
Cheers.
Right.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.